As you know, we have begun a series in which we're talking about being peacemakers in a world that wants to fight. We live in a time, in a culture, that honors disrespect, that honors anger, that values argument and debate. We almost are addicted to conflict of some kind. And so we find all kinds of ways to divide ourselves. We find all kinds of labels upon we can that we can put on each other. And so we live in a world that just wants a fight. But you and I are called to something different. We're called to live at peace and to make peace. And so we're struggling over these next, we've got 4 weeks left, we're struggling together to learn from Scripture how we can be peacemakers in a world that wants a fight. And this morning there's something that I want to break down really carefully for you because it's so important. I want us to think together about the road from anger to hate. There's a road that leads from anger to hate. We want to learn to identify that road and how it works. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to begin. Really, we'll begin at verse 26, but I kind of as a jumping off place, let me show you verse 1 real quickly, Ephesians 4 and 1. The reason I want to start there is simple. Ephesians is one of the books or letters that Paul wrote in which he spends the first half of the book talking about doctrine, teaching. Then the last half of the book is about practice, how you live out what he just taught. He does that in a number of his letters, and Ephesians may be the most obvious one. 3 chapters about doctrine and teaching, and 3 chapters about living it out in practice. So chapter 4 at verse 1 is the pivot in the book. He has just talked about the mystery of the gospel, and he's talked about what it means to be in Christ, and he's talked a great deal about prayer for spiritual strength, how all that works. Now look at verse 1. He says, I therefore, in other words, based on all 3 chapters so far, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. He says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. And so that language about walk, that's the word that he uses to represent life. But he uses a picture of a road. He's saying that life is kind of like the road we're walking down. Well, when I think of a road, I usually think more of driving than walking. And so we're going to take his imagery that we're on a road and we're going to apply it in a more modern context. But as we do, we're going to see exactly what he meant starting in verse 26. Ephesians 4, I want to show you 26 because I want you to see, first of all, that anger happens. Grudges are chosen. Verse 26 says, be angry and do not sin. Notice that. That's important. That's significant. He says that you can be angry and not sin. Matter of fact, that is the command. You're going to be angry. That's a part of humanity. We all are going to get angry at times. Anger is not a sin. But anger can very quickly lead to sin unless we deal with anger correctly. So he says, be angry, but don't sin. You're going to get ticked off sometimes, but that doesn't mean that you have to let that become something worse. You see, anger happens. Grudges are chosen. Look at verse 27. Give no opportunity to the devil. So there's got to be a significant difference. Be angry, but don't give opportunity to the devil. He's saying they're two separate things. Anger is not sin, but you better be careful because sin is getting very close. And so don't give the devil any opportunity. So this is what we've got to start trying to figure out. Anger is not a sin. It's normal traffic on the normal road. It's not the wrong turn. But he very quickly says, but don't sin. In other words, he's saying, but there is a detour that you can very quickly make if you're not careful. You're on the right road. God has it planned. You're moving forward. And something happens that ticks you off. You now have a choice to make. Will you continue to move forward, focusing on your purpose and God's plan, or will you choose to focus on that anger? What happens when we focus on the anger, we start to hold that grudge, we're taking a detour off of the road that's moving forward. We're taking a detour off to the side. There are signs that tell us that we're going to have to make this choice. I get mad at you. And when I get mad at you, I can feel my ears start to get warm. I have a friend who tells me that he can look at my jaw and tell if I'm angry. That's just a lie that my friend tells me, but there are signs that say, hey, John, you're getting angry. Those signs are highway signs that are saying, detour ahead. You need to decide, are you going to stay on the road toward purpose and peace, or are you going to take this detour? Anger is pointing you to go down this road where the grudges are, and you got to make a choice. So he says, be angry, but don't sin. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Psalm 4 and verse 4 is where Paul got this idea. In Psalm 4 and 4, the psalmist says, be angry and do not sin. See, that wasn't original with Paul. He stole it. The psalmist said it first. But then notice what the psalmist said. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds. That does not mean we toss and turn all night without getting sleep, but it means in our private place. It means instead of making a big stink and causing a big fracas, is that the right word? Ruckus? What's the word I'm looking for? Instead of causing all kinds of trouble to make sure everybody joins me in my unhappiness, he says, you handle it privately, in your own heart, in your bed, and you talk to God about it in silence. You process those things. Because there's a chance that the reason you're mad is because you don't like the fact that somebody showed you something in yourself that you really do need to change. If you just react in anger, you'll never see it and you'll never be able to improve. But what if they're right? If I'm quiet enough and I'm talking to God about it, I can see that and grow through it. On the other hand, assuming they're wrong, if I quiet long enough, I can tell myself, I can show myself that they were wrong, what they said is not true, and I'm okay. What they said is not true, that doesn't mean that it has to affect me. I'm okay. He says, this is how it's handled. You don't fly off the handle, you don't cause a stink, you don't act ugly. You face that anger. You're headed down the road of life. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. You're headed forward. Something happens. Not a problem that something happens. Something happens to everybody on this road. The question is, will I deal with that in a healthy way and keep moving forward, or will I let it distract me? Will I take this detour? James chapter 1 at verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. When I see that exit that will allow me to take this detour in my anger, that will allow me to hold those grudges, I see that, I feel absolutely justified in taking that exit and taking that detour and holding everyone accountable, and I'm going to put you on my list, and I'm telling you, once you get on my list, you don't ever get off my list. I can do that. But what did James just tell me? The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Where is the righteousness of God? It's on that path, that road that he had already planned for me, the one that I have been moving forward on until I let someone or something distract me. Now think of it this way. If I get so mad at you that I am justified in taking this detour so that I can... What have I done? I've just given you the power to control the direction of my life. Does that make sense? Because I was on the right road. I was moving forward. I was doing fine. And then you made me mad, and I decided that you were worth giving up the road that was leading in the right direction, and you were worth chasing down on a detour. So Paul says, be angry, but don't sin. Don't give the devil opportunity. Watch for those signs. When you feel and see those signs of anger saying, there's going to be a detour pretty soon, you know that when you get to that detour, you can choose not to take it. Be angry, do not sin. Look at the last part of verse 26. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Now, that does not mean, although it's a pretty good practice, make sure you've dealt with everything before you go to sleep at night. That's a good practice. But that's not really what Paul means. Paul is using that as a point to say there is a limited time in which you need to deal with this. You feel the signs, you hear the signs, you know anger is happening, you know there's going to be a detour up there where you could choose to hold those grudges and focus on that. That detour is coming. That exit is on its way. You need to make these decisions before you get to the exit, before the sun goes down. There's a limited time for you to make these decisions. When I get angry, I need to settle that anger before I reach the exit and before I'm pulled onto that detour. Anger happens, but grudges are chosen. Notice with me too that that detour is a toll road. That detour is a toll road. Look at verse 31 of our chapter. Chapter 4, jump down to 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. He says, this is what you find on that detour. This is the anger of man that doesn't bring the righteousness of God. Six clear sins, actually, that you do find when you take this detour. And if you'll notice, they each one kind of lead to the next one, and they each one get a little worse as you go. You know, whenever you travel on a toll road, you go a little distance, and then they make you stop. Well, they used to. Now they got the computers that take your picture and all that. But you're going to go to a toll booth, and you're going to pay something. Now, if I keep going on that road, it's not going to be long till I go through another toll booth and I'm going to have to pay again. If I stay on it even longer, I'm going to go. The longer you stay on the road, the more it costs you. This detour of holding grudges, of making lists, of harboring my anger, it costs me. The longer I stay on that road, the more it costs. And he says, this is what you find. He says, these are the things that you as people of God want to let go of. Bitterness. I'm just upset. I don't like this. I don't like you. Bitterness. Wrath. Wrath is, okay, now I'm good and ticked off and I'm never going to let go of this. I'm holding on strong to this. Anger is burning inside of me every time I think of you. Clamor is stir up as much trouble as I can. Clamor is noise. I'm going to stir this up as much as I can. Slander. I don't care if what I say about you is correct or true or not. I'm going to say it to hurt you. Let all those things be put away from you, he says. And the last one, malice. Malice is when I'm really ready to hurt somebody. He said, these are the toll booths that you go through when you take this detour. So instead, let's do those things that do honor God, that we might be able to stay in touch with his plan, his purpose for my life, that we can move forward instead of letting anger and grudges distract on a detour that is indeed a toll road with a great price. Hebrews chapter 12 at verse 15 says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. He's talking to the church, by the way. He's talking to a church that's made up of different people who have different points of view. They came from different walks of life. There are Jews and Gentiles who now are making up one body of Christ, and it's confusing. And so he says to this group of different people trying to learn how to get along, he says, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. The first sin that he listed in this list was bitterness. When I take the detour, holding on to my anger, holding on to those grudges, the first thing that happens is bitterness. In Hebrews, he says that's a root that's going to grow and it's going to wind up affecting the whole church, the whole group. So just don't ever let it take root. Don't even start down that detour where the first toll booth is bitterness. The detour is a toll road. If I take that toll road, here's the road, I'm moving forward, somebody makes me mad, I get to choose. I'm going to stay on this road and keep moving forward, or I'm going to take this detour so that I can hold on to my anger at them and those grudges. When I do that, I found out it's a toll road. It's costing me a lot more than them. By the way, don't ever forget, when you choose to take that detour, the person that you're mad at, they're not paying a dime of those tolls. They're moving on. You're the only one paying. Now, I'm paying those tolls just to make some kind of point, just to hurt the other person somehow. Where does this detour end? It ends at hate. The road from anger to hate. And John wants us to understand that that's not where we belong. So he says in 1 John chapter 2, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling, because you're in the light, you're not in the darkness, so you don't have to stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. If I take the detour, I wind up in hate, which is a dark place to be and no place for a child of God. John makes it even more clear in 1 John chapter 4. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So here's the problem, or the question. I was on the right road. I was moving forward. Something happened. I got distracted. I took this detour. I was holding my grudges. I was making my lists. I was angry, but I don't want to wind up in hate. How can I get off the detour? Here's the good news. Forgiveness is the on-ramp forward. Forgiveness takes me off the detour of anger and grudges that leads to hate. Forgiveness is the way that I can get off of that detour and find the on-ramp back to the road moving forward. We're right here in Ephesians 4. Look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, the first two verses. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. There should be a family resemblance. Be imitators of God as beloved children. If you're children of God, you want to imitate Him. People ought to be able to look at you. Growing up, people would look at me and say, just by looking at you, I can tell you're a crowder. I was too young at the time to know that that wasn't a compliment. But there should be a family resemblance. When Jesus said to his disciples, they, the world, will know that you belong to me. How did he say that? They'll know that you are mine if you have love. One for another. Love is the identifying characteristic of the children of God. Why? Because God is love. So he says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. He gave himself for us. He forgave us. Therefore, we want to be like him and learn that forgiveness is the way that we get back on track. Colossians chapter 3 at verse 13. Bearing one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. The truth of the matter is that you cannot out-forgive what's already been forgiven in you. You say, you don't know what you're asking for me to forgive. Well, that's true. But I do know that God already forgave you of something more. You cannot out-forgive the forgiveness that God has already given you. And in response to that grace, we learn to be like him and show grace to others. And we learn to forgive, let go of the anger. Stop paying the tolls. Don't let the other person control you and direct your life. Forgiveness gets me back on the road moving forward. And friends, the sun has not gone down yet. It's not too late. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're going with him to court in Matthew 5. While you're going with it, you're on the path to go to the court to fight. Even then, it's not too late. Come to terms with him. Even if you're all the way almost to court to fight, go ahead and come to terms with him. Work it out. Listen. Sit down, have a conversation. Because that's how we avoid the detour that gives the devil opportunity. And how we stay on the road moving forward. God, would you help us to be that kind of people? Would you help us that we would avoid the detours of anger and holding a grudge and making a point and clamor, and it leads to a destination of darkness and hatred. Lord, help us just to avoid that. Would you help us to stay on the road moving forward toward your plan? When we get off track, Lord, help us forgive ourselves and others that we might get back on the road. As we do those things, we pray that you would help us to honor you, that people would look at us and say, that must be one of God's kids. Would you help us accomplish that for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.